You are listening to a Need10 Media podcast production.
Jayhawks on the Move, Season 2, Episode 1. Tim Sauer, great day to be a Jayhawk.
Always is.
You're not decked out. You're usually decked out.
I've got my football t-shirt underneath. The one that has, it's a great day to be Jayhawk.
Okay. So it's just like two-a-day camp where they take the logos off the helmets.
Yeah,
you'd say so that. You're taking the logos off of everything. So I've got a passenger today that I got to take my grill into B&B, get service a little bit. So I'm pulling a trailer with the grill, so it's going to slow me down a little bit. Hopefully it doesn't fall off. So anyway, as we are, I don't know, what, about a month away? Less than that?
It's less
game
than
number one for the 2019 season, going into your second year. Let's talk about your first year. Looking back, it's been a year since we got together. What's your reflections on that time?
Reflection was kind of like getting driving your parents' car for the first time. You got the keys and you were super excited and you're like, oh, I didn't know this. And you find the right person to talk to and kind of understand what's the right way to do things, what's a way we can better do something. And there was a learning curve, and it was tremendous. And you find people around you to help you out, and I can't be more excited for year two.
So going back, got the two wins. And the key one at the end of the year, way to go into the offseason. Talk about the wins you got and the lessons learned along the way of just being that head coach now, not just the other person on the sidelines.
The two wins last year, one against BC LUW and the other one against East Marshall. One district win, one non-district win. And I would say, the biggest takeaways, and I've been watching an exuberant amount of film these past couple weeks. If you're not getting first downs, it's hard to move the ball. You don't have the ball, it's hard to score. And it's just like, oh, well, that's easy to correct. And hey, that's a stupid mistake. And just trying to eliminate those smaller mistakes that can kind of snowball into something larger.
You look at some of the members you lost, and they were part of, some pretty good, experiences through high school. But you send them on their way, and they help bring the program to where it's at. What's coming in? What are you looking forward to with some new guys coming in that got, probably a fair amount of experience last year compared to what some other underclassmen would have gotten?
Right. We graduate some contributors that we had last year, some guys that maybe haven't been playing football since they were in middle school, and some other guys that have had injury issues, and that's and they did a really nice job for us creating, building the foundation. That was kind of our big senior model last year was, we're trying to get this, we're going to leave this place better than how we found it. And this year we have some guys that are super excited. We have guys that are text me saying, hey, when can we do this? We have these ideas. What do you think about this? We have a lot of younger guys who played last year on Fridays that are hopefully going to step up and hold down a role for us this upcoming year. You have the, Jace Pilcher who got, took over from quarterback duty last year. Coming back, you've got Brady Dahl, you have a solid veteran, and Cooper Feeling. These are all guys that were major contributors for us on the skill position. You have Cole Over on the offensive line, defensive line. Luke Van Brocklin, who held down spots. Linebacking core, you have you have Keaton Roscoe, who's played for us just a little bit in the linebacker core. Maybe some other places on the offense. And just trying to find the spot that's going to make everybody as successful as possible.
We'll talk about the offseason. Things end in November, in October. A lot of your athletes will move in to play winter sports and into spring sports, and talk about success that we've seen through there with in the spring and into the summer as well. The weight room continues to play a huge part to the success of of all the programs, really, but talk about football and also your involvement in that whole initiative, too.
Right. So our success as a school is trying to get as many kids out for whatever sport possible. You know, we've seen a lot of kids that have gone from cross to football, football to cross and back. And the biggest message is we can tell kids is you need to be active. You know, we're too small, although we are growing, we're too small of a school to not be participating in something. Our cheer program numbers have gone up exponentially over the years. Our cross numbers are huge. Our football numbers are staying pretty steady. But then it prepares us for our winter, and our winter numbers are growing. And whether that's people are coming in and working out in the Jack, there's people going out for their winter sport. And I think what we've all done a really good job of is telling kids, hey, you know, once your season's done, you can move on to the next one. But the one thing that remains constant is being in the Jack, working on your craft, getting stronger, or getting back to what you were before that previous season started. And we've had a lot of different people step into those roles, and we've had different ideas tinkered around with. Like, I know Coach Green's really helped me become a better technician when it comes to sprint mechanics and teaching kids how to run. Brought different ideas to, hey, you know, why don't we try something this way? So that's something that a difference that you'll be seeing this fall, especially with our in-season athletes, but also in the mornings and also in the next winter and spring. You're going to see a little bit different shift from how we've lifted in the past is something that's a little bit more conducive to our athletes.
So talk about the brand. It's a great day to be a Jayhawk.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's coming up on a year old from being really public. Where have you seen that gone? What has really, surprised you or some way you've been proud to see where that's gone through the community?
I think right after football, I had an idea of getting it trademarked, going through that process, and I kind of got away from it because I had some other stuff that I wanted to accomplish on my plate. And, you know, I've seen it on T-shirts, not correlated with the fall. I've seen it in other places. I see kids wearing the wristbands. I see teachers, parents, administrators wearing it from the wristbands that we have. And I just think it's, you know, I remember the first time I saw it on the T-shirt, and I'm like, that's really cool. That's something I say, and it's something that people believe in. And, you know, like I said, wristbands and T-shirts, that's billboard. You know, you get a chance to throw out your brand, and people want to live it and rep it, and chances that they can.
Summertime, getting through it. What did Tim Sauer do in the offseason? In the summertime,
like you're talking June, or because the off season for, you know, me as soon as like is November.
I could tell you what I saw you do in the off season.
Yeah,
do you want me to try and give my account from my perspective?
Yeah, I would like to, because so there's like, if you want to break this down, there's like your Pygmalion self, how other people view you, your self concept, how you view yourself, and sometimes a self assessment from someone from a different perspective is great versus. If I go ask my wife what she thinks I'm doing, she'll give me one answer. But if I get someone else, it can be very helpful.
So do you want me to go Pygmalion on you?
You?
Am I using that word correctly?
Sure. We'll just roll with it. Yeah, what do you
think? So when I follow you, and that's just usually on social media, you and Stratton have a good time when I think your wife's not around. So, you know, he's up and he's walking, right?
He's dang near running at this point.
So he's how old now?
13 months.
13 months.
Mm-hmm.
He's moving around. He's stirring some things up. How he's usually sleeping.
Yes.
Because he's probably just shutting out Stratton. I really enjoy your, I don't know if it's our relationship that I'm rubbing off on you, that you start doing some play-by-play of Stratton when he's playing or whatever he's doing.
You know what? So I've always talked to Smines about this. As soon as you and Mr. Baldwin started doing the play-by-play for basketball.
Mr. Baldwin.
Yes. And I don't know, there's, you know, the color commentary, and I've listened to a lot of, like, Pat McAfee show, too, and I think that stuff is just so interesting, and I don't know, it's just hysterical, and I think a big reason why I do it is, especially with Stratton, is I can get my wife to laugh at it, and I know other people laugh at it, too, and it, you know, she'll be working, and I'll be, hey, Stratton, we're going downstairs, we're going to pretend we're on Chopped, and we're going to pretend to cook something up, and you go do your thing, and I'll just make it work.
So, but this happened not too long ago. This was last week on the golf course. You were at the UNI alumni outing or football outing, and you're reporting in Jim Nantz style from red carpet, I think, is where you're at. Or were you?
No, we were in Waverly.
Oh, you were up in Waverly.
What's
okay.
The super nice golf?
Centennial Oaks up there.
No, what's the
other?
Prairie
Lakes.
Yep.
Prairie Lakes.
Very
yep.
Nice golf course.
So you had to bust it out then.
Yeah.
You weren't quiet. You didn't have the golf voice going.
No. Well, there's no one around us, and I'm not a quiet person. I'm maybe a little tone deaf and maybe a little too enthusiastic, and that's why I'm not such a good golfer. I don't have the whole golf etiquette thing down.
So did they take many of your shots that day?
My goal was, okay, so let's say play 18, 4 or 5 shots per each one. What's the math on that? 72 hits or whatever of the golf swing. My goal was to have them use nine of my shots because we're playing best ball.
Okay.
I think we only used about 5, which is pretty good because if you talk to Smines, I'm the world's worst golfer. So
I don't think you're patient enough to golf.
No. I don't golf, I don't hunt, I don't fish.
Plus, I'm going to guess you had to do some waiting.
Yes.
On the course.
No, I can't sit still that long.
Okay. So you're not looking to coach golf anytime soon?
No, there's a lot of cool stuff with golf. If it's mini golf, I'll take anyone to Lost Island and we can do that.
A club team. Maybe you start a, you know, a Jessup club mini
cool.
golf team.
I don't have that type of discipline to be successful at golf. It's something I totally respect. I can't though. You know what? We had a golf lesson, a small golf unit during class, during PE. I had your daughter teach it. I had anyone else. I was like, I am not good at this. I'm going to butcher this. I'm going to make your ears bleed when I do this. You come up and please teach.
Well, at least you own that you struggle with it.
Yes.
You're not just hiding behind it.
Right.
Okay. And teaching wrong.
Correct.
Summer reading, anything?
Taking some classes right now, so a little bit of that. I have a horrible habit of opening a book, reading some of it, and then starting a new book. So a lot of the stuff that I have been reading has been articles, and it's been from, there is a track football coach named Tony Holler over in Illinois who does some really interesting ideas and concepts that he can apply to his track and football team, and some stuff that we might be looking at implicating as well, implementing.
What type of stuff are we talking?
So his big thing, and Mr. Green actually got me onto him, it's called Feed the Cats, and I know it's quite unique. So I think about when I played football, it was, okay, guys, today we're going to run 16 110-yard sprints. Okay, and then you run them, and they take like maybe half an hour, and you're dead. And it's like, well, what did we get out of running 16 110-yard sprints? Well, our kids are mentally tough after running that.
Or just mad.
What did we actually get out of that? What type of training do we need to improve on, especially since where we're at with in 2019 with all the, you know, technological advances and all the information that's out there? What can we do to keep our kids healthy and happy? Because you've seen it recently. There's, you know, kids that are dying from conditioning tests and everything. I think there's a kid within the last couple months that's died from doing 110-yard sprints. And that's because that's what the football team was doing.
So is it that you're getting more into the why of what you're doing? Is that where that's leading to?
Yes. That would have been, like, the best thing to say about 6 minutes ago when I was trying to explain this. the why of where we're doing it. How can, what we're doing, why are we doing it, how can we make it purposeful? Because anybody can go out there and just do stuff. I can just give you a drill and make you do it, but why are we doing it, and how is it going to be beneficial to what we're doing?
Well, and that's something I would say, even with this generation that, you're coaching now, and there's some work I do with that generation too, that, yeah, they'll do what you want them to do, but if you really want them to get them to do it, tell them why.
Right.
And you got to see that not just in what you're doing extracurricular-wise, but also, you know, in the PE gym as well.
Right.
When you can do that, what kind of impact do you see from anybody really now?
The biggest thing is, you know, hey, I want you to, it's the light bulb moment. I grew up, hey, do this. Sounds good, coach. Sounds good, teach. I mean, teacher, Mr. Mrs. never said teach. But I just did it. It wasn't an issue. But now we can conceptualize, hey, we're doing this because of this. Hey, we're doing this because of this. I'm doing this so you can have this skill later on in life. Hey, I'm doing this skill so you can try to hold the linebacker. So in the next second, something's going to open up for you. And kids really respect that, because it's like, hey, they have more knowledge instead of saying, hey, go do this.
So what's that look like? How do you mix this into the season? You know, this stuff we talked about last year, theories and beliefs and cultures, things like that. How do you set that in motion to get that mindset to follow along with what you're trying to do and what your staff's trying to do, and just to get on? You know, you're really trying to not just make a better football player, but
right,
but better people.
Right. And a lot of it comes through trial and error, because there's things that work and there's things that don't work. And just because it works one day doesn't mean it's going to work the next day. And one of the big things that we've been trying to do, what we have been doing, is identifying behaviors in the classroom, in the weight room, on the football field, and in life that are going to make you better people. Because, to be honest, and I just had a conversation with an athlete about this, if we do all the things right, winning will be a byproduct. Winning isn't the number one thing. Because, yeah, there's a lot of great winners out there, but they're also cruddy people. And that's not what we want to do. If we can identify those behaviors and how they're going to apply in life, then that's when, for me especially, that's when I'm going to consider that kid being successful.
So let's talk about the season coming up. What do you think of the schedule? When it came out, what was your thoughts?
You know, it's the same as last year, except we flip where we're going, home and away sites. I really like it because Hudson is, I'd essentially consider that a home game with how close it is. Then we go O-line and MFL at home. BC, LUW is a little bit of a trek. But then we hit district play, South Hardin's home. Northland is right around the corner. That's not that far away. Then we have North Lynn, yeah, North Lynn, not that far away. And then we hit, you know, East Marshall will be home, Dyke will be home, and then Iowa City, Regina will be our other long trek. But other than that, everything's pretty close. Excited to see what we can do against, you know, a lot of the teams that we faced last year, they had, you know, we were looking at, for instance, South Hardin, you know, they were a little senior heavy at some of those positions, and it's like, hey, this is a great opportunity for a team that was a little younger to come up and compete against a team that doesn't have some of those same guys back.
So that's something too. I get a kick out of it. Doesn't matter if it's high school ball or college or pro. It's like, well, they lost a lot. I'm not sure how they're going to be.
Right.
And of course, that conversation goes away once the season starts. But what do you think your opponents are projecting to see from you guys, just from what they know?
Right. Look at Hudson. Hudson 13-0 coming off state champs, and they come out and say, oh, it's Jessup. Okay, no problem, guys. And that's where opponents will look at us and like, hey, they don't have a lot of the same guys they had back last year. They had some younger guys who that were contributors. You know, we were getting better towards the end of the season. You know, this isn't the, you know, traditional Jessup that maybe some of those coaches have coached against in years past. And that's hopefully the mindset that what those other teams see.
What are we, how's your staff? You had a little few changes on the middle school level as a whole. You know, talk about the people that you have working alongside you to build a better program.
to build a better program. You know, we have a lot of our, we've retained a lot of our staff from last year on the high school. We have one of my friends that has coached from Jefferson, not Jefferson, sorry, that's where my wife's from. Cedar Rapids, Jefferson. Jordan Miller, he's going to help us. He's going to be a volunteer this year. He's going to help us at the high school level. Ronnie Slisky's going to be back on the middle school. Paul McCone is one of our coaches on the middle school. Coach Wackendorf is a middle school coach. We're going to have Cody Cooper. He's going to be a volunteer to help out with the middle school as well. So just you've seen a little bit more changes towards on the middle school side with a couple people leaving and a couple changes there. But other than that, there's be a lot of retention in the staff.
Can't believe it's coming up.
You know, school got out late this year, and it seemed like the summer was only a couple weeks. So Green and I were talking a couple weeks ago. It'll be here before you know it. And cross country got done with their camp, and football has their camp coming up, and we're going to be here.
So what do you say? How are your numbers looking? You didn't quite get into that as far as it's hard to say if it till first day, but
right.
What are you looking at roster wise?
You always have the kids that say, I'll come out. And then you say, well, I'm not coming out. And it's, all depends who shows up. I'd want to say we'll be about 10 in our senior class. And then freshman class, it's always so tough that transition from as an eighth grader to a freshman. I always think about 50 kids is going to be a for sure number. But then, you get kids, well, I don't want to go out anymore. Or I just all of a sudden got an idea that on a whim I want to come out. So,
right. So what do you say to those young men that are on the line that were out or have been out or thinking of going out? There's all these things out there when you start talking about football, from concussions or am I going to get a play, things like that we've talked about before. From the head coach's standpoint, in a school like Jessup, what do you say to those guys?
And it starts in June where it's, hey, just why don't you come watch? Why don't you come, basketball has open gym. We have open field. Come run some routes. Just see if you like it. See if you don't. And those kids who are still on the fence, we've got a football camp, 5th, 6th, and 7th. Come watch. Come try it out. See if you like mm-hmm. it. And if you're still on the fence, well, do you want to be part of the team? If you don't want to play, you can have some type of role that where you're still part, you're still on the football team, but maybe you're not playing. Maybe it's a manager. Maybe it's our. You want to be an audio. You want to be a film guy for us. Mm-hmm. That's or film girl, either or. That works. That works either way. And the message is, there's always a spot on you. There's always a spot for somebody on this team. And your role is going to look different. Just like look at an axe versus a razor blade. Okay, an axe can cut down a tree. A razor blade can't. Razor blade can cut through paper, an axe isn't going to be as efficient. Everybody's role is going to be different, but everybody can be a tool that can be used.
Monumental quote right there.
Yeah.
I think you found the title for it. So, Coach, we'll talk again. Kickoff is not too far away as we look at doing the scrimmage against Columbus on the 23rd and kickoff with Hudson August 30th. Jayhawks on the move. He doesn't have his cue yet. No. He's not ready.
Great day to be Jayhawk.
Yeah, we still got to work on that. So at least we had the name down. At this point, we weren't quite there yet.
Right.
A year ago.
Yeah. Popped up on Facebook like last week when we did this because the season rolled back.
Yeah.
And it was just like, yeah, we didn't have an official title yet, but it's awesome.
Let's get in, just drive around. Something like that. All right. We will see you again. Jayhawks on the move. Out.
This is a Need 10 Media production.
Joe, good luck tonight.
Thanks, Scott.